Alexandra Moran frowned. Neighbours? What neighbours? They were in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nothing, and there wasn't another soul for at least a mile, unless Erin was implying that the local wildlife somehow had the ability to summon the Irish police force. I'm certain the County Kerry cops have better things to do than break up the world's tamest party, Alex said, passing Erin the bottle of bubbly. We're all still respectably tipsy. It's hardly a rammy. I mean, Beth hasn't even fallen over yet. Give it time, Beth interjected, pointing towards her wedge trainers. I'm pretty sure there's some fresh air somewhere that needs tripping over. The night is still young. Erin grinned. In the midst of their Irish squawking, Beth's pretty Welsh accent was like a musical interlude. Alex was right, however. Beth's clumsiness was legendary, as was the impressive bruising it often left behind. Fine, Erin replied, flipping her light brown hair over her shoulder. It might not be the wildest shindig we've ever thrown, but I'm still turning it down a smidge for the sake of my eardrums. Tara, currently hunting for her cigarettes, snickered.
Christ, I hope someone does call the cops and they arrest you for saying shindig. I mean, in the name of the wee man, Erin, are you 22 or 82?
I swear, if you turn that music down, they'll never find your body. This was not the party they had planned for their last weekend together after graduation. A girls' weekend in London had been the frontrunner. Somewhere with a fancy spa, a rooftop bar perhaps. Their current location, Lochview House, while hardly a rundown shack, barely had Wi-Fi. As a child, Erin had stayed there regularly. It was designed by her late grandfather Colm, an architect whose wife, Clodagh, had passed from kidney failure when Erin was 3 years old. Erin loved Lochview House, often spending summers there while her parents navigated a very rocky relationship. It was a large, white brick building with 5 bedrooms, a beautiful kitchen, a huge living room, 3 bathrooms, and a beach practically at the end of the garden. However, this was her first night staying here as the new owner. 8 months ago, Colm died, and 4 weeks later, his last will and testament was read. Everything went to Erin. Her dad, Terry, Colm's only son, had contested this, of course, even taking his only daughter to court. But Colm's last will and testament had made his wishes perfectly clear. The only stable home Erin had ever had growing up was now hers. She hadn't spoken to either of her parents in months, choosing to put herself first, something that they'd never done. Last she heard, they were on a cruise somewhere, bickering, most likely. It's what they did best. Alex wondered whether inheriting a house automatically came with an irrational fear of noise complaints from invisible neighbours, but she kept her thoughts to herself. Instead, she watched her friend Erin, champagne in hand, manoeuvre her way towards the stereo, sidestepping Beth and Rebecca, who were currently dancing as badly as they sang. And it's hardly a sudden love, she heard Tara yell from outside, through a cloud of cigarette smoke. Beth plays her music all the time, and I'm pretty sure I Kissed a Girl was Becky's coming out anthem. She loves a bit of Perry, right, Bex?
Alex knew that if Becky had been a touch more sober, she might have retorted that not only were the lyrics to the song actually rather problematic, but also that she came out as bisexual in 2007, a whole year before Katy Perry developed a taste for cherry chapstick. But instead, Becky just clinked her champagne flute with Beth, who announced that Katy Perry was a goddess, before yelping as the contents splashed over the side of her glass and onto her bare feet.
And this is why the good Lord invented shoes, Tara informed her,
shimmying in from the...